Bibles with me to Luke chapter 24. Yeah, I've been here many, many times over the years. We come up here this morning, I was walking up on the porch, and maybe some of y'all remember when Don used to have the conferences over New Year's. And, it's so cold to come up here, and that wind to jerk the door out of your hand and just freeze you. It was awful. I'm glad he finally moved it to September. But, boy, those was... All right. It's just a good blessing for me to be here. And I pray God would... I've prayed for this service and prayed for you and asked the Lord to please meet with us. If he doesn't meet with us, it... wouldn't amount to much, you know. I've been where I'm at now going on 42 years. And as I told Bruce Crabtree a couple of days ago, with all the preaching we've done and all the studying we've done, we ain't touched the hem of the garment yet. Not touched the hem of the garment. But look there with me in verse 50. Luke 24, 50. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Our Lord lifted up his hands here and blessed those disciples that were gathered around him as he is taken back up into glory. But this is after our Lord Jesus had already conquered death. He had defeated death. He left the grave spoiled. Just a place for us to wait for the resurrection of our own bodies one of these days. And our Lord Jesus, who created this world and upholds it by the word of his power, blessed this earth by being born and by living on this earth and walking on this earth for 33 years. Some say 33 and a half. But how, what a blessing for him to come into this world and meet with us as a man. But now he's going to pass through the air. He's going to ascend back to the glory that he had with the Father before the world ever was. He's going to go back there. And he's going to go back and he's the exalted position that his Father gave him at the right hand of the majesty on high. And our Lord Jesus ascended to heaven in a way that I believe we can learn some things from. I certainly hope we can. And you know, he was on the earth for 40 days after his resurrection. After our Lord Jesus was raised from the dead, he stayed here for 40 days. And that 40 in the scriptures means proving time, proving time. Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Our Lord Jesus Christ was in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. And that 40 is a proving time. And so our Lord Jesus stayed here for 40 days and 40 nights to prove that he was really the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal God and the man who was crucified and was buried and was raised again and was raised again. And so to remove any doubt of his identity, and to teach and instruct his disciples. Look what it says back up here in verse 45. And this is exactly what has to happen to us. Then opened he their understanding. Nobody's going to have any understanding of what God has to say, of what Christ did and what he accomplished, unless Christ opens their understanding. And here's what he opens their understanding for, that they might understand the scriptures. The scriptures. And I tell you what, and he said this, and thus it is written. He went to the scriptures. He always used the scriptures. And thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and then you go out and preach repentance and remission of sins among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. So you just wait in Jerusalem until you endued with power from on high. So here he is, he's taught his disciples, he's instructed his disciples, and he gave them the commission, what they're to do. And the place where our Lord Jesus Christ was, he was on Mount Olive. He's on Mount Olive. This is the mount where our Lord Jesus went up and often communed with his Father. And he oftentimes took his disciples with him. And there he often went up on the mountainside, and at times it says he went up there and prayed all night. Prayed all night. And this mountain looked down on Bethany. And Bethany was a special place to our Lord Jesus. Bethany was a wonderful place, blessed place. There were people there that he loved. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He performed one of the greatest miracles that he ever did there in Bethany. And he loved Bethany. And he loved the people in Bethany, especially that dear, dear family. Sat at their table and ate with them. And also, this place where he was at, it was near to Gethsemane, the place of agony, the awful agony that our Savior went through before he went to the cross. The agony, his soul was so troubled. His heart was so pained. And it wasn't because of what he is going to face. For you and me, it was because of what he was going to be by his Father. That his Father would turn out the lights on him. That his Father would turn his back on him, that he would be alone, even without his Father doing anything for him. That's what he dreaded. Him and his Father. Him and his Father were. This is one of the greatest mysteries of all time. How that Christ, the Son, is as old as God the Father, and yet when he assumed humanity, he came into this world and humbled himself and became as a servant to his Father. And for him to say, you know, that was what bothered him more than anything in this world, was that his Father, my God, why hast thou rejected me? Because even when he wanted the cries from the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So it wasn't our sins that made his burden so great. Though that was great, but to be forsaken of his Father, that's why he sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then look at the witnesses. Our Lord Jesus, for those 40 days and 40 nights while he was on the earth, there were so many people that saw him. And I couldn't, you know, what he appeared to his disciples first, the 11. Simon Peter wasn't with them. And I tell you what, then he appeared to all of his disciples. Then he appeared to Mary Magdalene. Then he appeared to Mary, his mother. Then he appeared to, the scripture says, above 500 brethren at one time. At one time. And so they couldn't be deceived as to who he was. You know, our Lord Jesus, He says, you know, that when they looked at him, he said, he'd hold his hands out, said, look, it's me. It's me. They couldn't be deceived as to who he was. Great witnesses. Oh, he appeared to Simon Peter. He said, tell Simon that I'll go over before him in Galilee, and there I'll see him. And these people were trustworthy. They were characters and wonderful characters, blessed people. And they witnessed our Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrected body after he is raised from the dead. And so he's standing here. His disciples gathered around him. He's fixing to go back up to glory. And he lifts up his hands. He lifts up his hands. Nothing superstitious about it. He's standing there, lifts up his hands. It was quiet. No chariot of fire come down like it did for Elijah. No horses of fire going across the sky. But here he is, just in his glorious person. So majestic. There's no angels around. There's no great choir singing. No imaginary splendor. Just our Lord standing there with his disciples. With his own power. In his Godhead. And the simplicity of him doing everything. Doing everything. And oh God, please, for Christ's sake, meet with us and let us see some things about our Savior here today. And our Lord Jesus blessed the last thing he did before he ascended to glory was to bless his disciples. He lifted up his hands. Lifted up his hands. Now this blessing wasn't an unusual thing. It is customary for him to bless. You know, when he was walking with the disciples on the Emmaus Road, and you know they didn't have a clue who he was until he sat down to eat with them. And he blessed the bread, and then their eyes were open just because of the way he spoke and the way his blessings was. Oh, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. So here's a customary way to bless. And one of the customary ways of blessing was to stretch out his hands. And this is the attitude in which he departed, with his hands lifted up and a blessing coming out of his lips to his blessed people. Oh, what a blessing it was. And I'll tell you something, it says there when he came, you know, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. This blessing was with authority. Now I can say the Lord bless you. May God bless you. But I can't bless you. I hope to be a blessing to you, but I can't bless you. I don't have any authority. There's not a man on the earth that has the authority to bless you. By saying, lifting their hands and saying, now, I'm going to put a blessing on you. I know there are people that can do that and go through some hocus pocus and hold up some little old thing, you know, and sprinkle it around and all that rigmarole. But I tell you, this blessing that our Lord Jesus Christ gave was with authority. Authority. He had authority to give a blessing. He had the power to give a blessing. And this blessing was given as his Father was receiving him back up into heaven to set him at his own right hand. Now keep Luke and look over here at Matthew chapter 8 with me. Look at Matthew chapter 8. I want you to see something over here about our Lord's hands. About our Lord's hands. You know, he gave this blessing when he was being received back up into glory. He said, Father, I finished the work that you gave me to do. Now glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now look here in chapter 8, Matthew 8, and look, start in verse 1. When our Lord Jesus was come down from the mountain, just where we're talking about, he went up there to pray. Great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now look what it says here. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. And touched him. Put forth his hand and touched him. Do you know what a blessing this man received by Christ touching him? If you and I touched a leper, we'd be contaminated. We'd be unclean. Christ can touch a leper, and the leper becomes clean, and Christ is not contaminated. Christ became sin for us, but he himself was never a sinner. He's always been holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And look what it says down here in verse 14 of Matthew 8. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, and he saw his wife's mother laid sick of a fever, and he touched her hand. He reached out with his hand and touched her hand, and the fever left her just that quick. Oh, you're talking about a blessing. He's got the authority to give a blessing. He's got the authority to do it. And this blessing that he gave here back over here in Luke 5:24, this blessing was so full, so wondrous, that when he gave a blessing, all the blessings that he had come through him. No blessings was ever given except what come through his blessed hands. And he emptied his hands on these people this day. And this blessing that he gave was for them present right then at that time, and for them who would believe afterwards, who were on the sound of his voice. Those who weren't even present. And even now he scatters blessings upon all of his people for all time. If I have a blessing in this world, and people say, boy, I tell you what, you know, you got need to do this or do that, to do pray so much, read your Bible so much, attend so many services, and do all this and that to receive a blessing. There's not one thing that a human being has ever done to earn one blessing from God. Not one. Not one. So if you ever get a blessing, and God ever blessed you, he did it for one reason, for Christ's sake. Ain't that right? Why else would he bless us? Why else would he bless us? And I'll tell you what, and he gave blessings, blessings upon blessings, even for those that are sitting here today. And what a glorious, blessed way for our Lord to finish his time here on earth. He's just finishing up his life, finishing up leaving here. And as they're standing there, he lifted up his hands. Now his gravity's fixed to let go of him. He's fixed to leave here. And he lifted up his hands. And he blessed them. And he blessed them. Oh my. There's nothing here for us to cry about. It's no deathbed scene. I've been at several deathbed scenes. I have over in my life. I've been with several people that was leaving this world. And I was never with a believer that was leaving this world that left with any fear or trepidation. They were all ready, they were all willing, they were all joyfully waiting to go. Waiting to go. And it's a blessing to watch somebody take their last breath and know the minute they take it, they're in glory. Just that snap, just faster than you snap your finger. Just that quick. But this wasn't no deathbed scene here. We aren't at the close of our Lord Jesus Christ's life here. No, 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 no. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning of life. He's going back to glory. He's going to sit down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He's going to sit down to replace with all power and authority, with all might in his glorious hands, all might in his glorious presence. And when we even pray, we use his name. When we ask for God to give us something, we use Christ's name. And I tell you what, this is just the beginning. And our Lord Jesus, when he prayed his high priestly prayer over there in John 17, he said, Father, I don't just pray for these that you've given me, but for them that shall believe on me through their word. And you know what? The word that we believe is this right here. This is God's word. Every word in it. People say, Paul said this and Peter said that. We can, instead of saying Paul or Peter or anybody else, we can say God said, Christ said. And that's what gives us our authority. That's what gives us our peace. That's what gives us our comfort in this world. And then let me tell you something else about these hands that blessed them, lifted up and blessed them as he was getting ready to ascend. And it says there in verse 51, and it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them. still had his hands up as he parted from them. And those hands that he lifted up, those hands that he lifted up to bless them, they were hands that had been pierced, had been pierced. And this is how they knew. This is how they knew they were the Lord's hands. You know, when we get to glory, we're going to see him as a lamb that had been slain. Well, even when we get to glory, he's still going to have the scars in his body that he got while he was here. Still have them. It said they saw him as a lamb that had been slain. And those hands that he held up to bless these saints with and to bless us with, their pierced hands. And because they were pierced, that's why they knew they were the Lord Jesus' hands. And seeing his pierced hands, they knew and saw the price of their blessing, the price of his their blessing. When you look at the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, that blood flowed out of his hands. Blood flowed out of his feet. Blood and water flowed out of his side. And when they saw those hands that were so pierced, they understood that this is what the cost of our blessing was. That death that he suffered, that death on the cross, those cruel nails put into his hands. And it was his death that brought continual blessings upon them and upon his redeemed even today, is because of those pierced hands. And when they saw those hands that had those holes in them, they saw the way of God's blessing, the way of Christ's blessing. When they saw those hands, they saw it was the hands of a man. The hands of a man. They saw the sacrificial wounds of the Lord Jesus Christ. Zechariah asked this question, talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Where are those thy wounds that you got in your hands? Where did you get those wounds that are in your hands?" He said, "I got them. I got them in the house of my friends." And the next word says, "Smite the shepherd." Smite him how? Smite him with nails. Smite him. And I tell you what, when you get to glory, there'll be a man. The only God we'll ever see in glory is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, he'll be just like he was when he went up, when he left those men there. That's the same body we're going to see when we get to glory. Oh my. The sight of his hands, just the sight of his hands, period, is in itself a blessing. And you're seeing those wounds, seeing the wounds that was in his precious hands, seeing the wounds that was in our Savior's hands, seeing the wounds that was in his feet. I even believe that there's going to be scars on his head because of that those pierce, those thorns that pierced his scalp and pierced his face. Oh my. And just the sight of those hands in itself is a blessing. Just to see them. And it's by seeing those blessed wounds, by seeing those wounds purchased, bought for us, paid for us, endured for us, everything that God has ever chosen for us and given us and even elected us for Christ to come and do this and go through this so that we could be accepted in Christ and Christ alone. Oh my. In those blessed hands we see life. In those blessed hands we see forgiveness. In those blessed hands, we see justification. We see righteousness bestowed because of those blessed hands. I remember a deacon that was a deacon of a church years and 13th Street, as a matter of fact, years and years ago, probably 30-something years ago. And I knowed the man very well and loved him and enjoyed his blessings. enjoyed being around him, enjoyed being with him. He had been a deacon for a while, but one day he was traveling in his automobile to go somewhere, and he was listening to a message. He was listening to a message about Christ crucified. And he said, and he went back and told the church this. He said, I have never seen Christ crucified for me and me alone, just for me. And I saw that day that Christ died for me. And that day was the day of my salvation. And he went back as a deacon of that church and told his pastor, he said, God saved me today. I saw Christ dying for me. Not just a generic Christ scattering blessings all over the place, but a Christ who died for individuals, who died for people. When I say died for people, I'm telling you that, beloved, before I was ever born, before God ever put a star in the sky, before the sons of God ever shouted for joy, before he laid the foundation of the earth, God chose his people in Christ before the foundation of the world. And he said, I'm going to send my son into this world. And he's going to die for Abel. He's going to die for everyone that from Genesis to Revelation, he's going to die for every single one of them. And every one of them is going to know that I did it for them. When they preached on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 souls believed, every single one of those souls believed for themselves. And that's why, sometimes when we talk about looking at the hands of Christ, take those blessed hands and those blessed hands reach and get you and bring you to himself, reach and get you and hug you. As old Maurice Montgomery used to say, he said, oh, listen, hug up to him, hug up to him. He shed blood so he could hug up to you and you could hug up to him. He bought and paid for you so you could hug up to him and he could hug up to you. He did this so that when we call on him and need him and desire him and have to have him, we do. We do. Oh my. And the lifting up of those hands to bless these men and to bless us, that's the very epitome of the gospel. It's the substance of the gospel. It's pierced hands that bring the blessings. It's pierced hands that lifts up over us. It was through suffering, through death. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who has the right, who has the power to bless. And he alone has that power to bless. And I tell you something. This was the last that was seen of the Lord on this earth until he comes again. But he hasn't changed his way of blessing. Oh, the wonderful hands of our Lord Jesus Christ. Simon Peter, he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me walk to you. Simon Peter just started walking on the water, going to Christ. Because Christ was walking out on the water, going to get in that boat with him. Simon Peter started going down. And his hands reached out and said, he said, Lord, save me. I perish. Christ just reached, got him by the hand. And he no sooner touched his hand than he was in the boat with him just like that. The same hand that Thomas said, the disciple said, Christ is risen. We've seen him. He said, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I do not believe that. Well, we've seen him. He said, I tell you what, unless I can see him with my eyes and my hands can touch him and I can stick my finger in his hands and put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe. He no sooner got the words out of his mouth No sooner got him out of his mouth than Christ was right there. You know how quick Christ can get to you? Just like he did Thomas. Thomas no sooner got through saying, I don't believe it. And except I. Christ stood in front of him and said, Here, Thomas, go ahead. Turned his side to him. Go ahead, stick your hand there. You know what Thomas did? Got on his knees and said, oh, my Lord and my God. But that's how quick Christ can be here. All you got to do is just say his name and he's there. He's there, just that quick. Oh, my. And I tell you, our Lord Jesus, oh, what a blessing. What blessings he gives. Oh, his precious hands, blessed hands. And we ask God to take those hands, do things for people, pray for people. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ? He don't even let anybody do anything for his children but himself. He don't let anybody take his children home but himself. And here's the thing. Our Lord is so glorious, so majestic, so infinite, so eternal, that he can do something for every one of his children on earth and all of them in heaven at the same time and be their Lord and their Lord alone. Huh? You know, I don't know if I ever told you this before, but you know, if you're a member of a family and your parents die or somebody dies, you're going to inherit some money. If say there's five of you, you got to take that inheritance, divide it five ways. So if you had a pie, you cut it up, and everybody gets a piece of pie. But with Christ, we get the whole pie. We get it all. With Christ, we get it all. We don't have to share with anybody else. I mean, when we get Christ and the inheritance is with him and all we get for him, we, every single one, get exactly the same thing. And it's just the whole pie. The whole inheritance is ours. Huh? And oh my. So those hands that he held up to bless these people, they were omnipotent hands. They were omnipotent hands. All power was in them hands. All power is in them hands. It says that he upholds them by the word of his power. And oh my, he holds the scepter of righteousness in his hands. And I tell you what, beloved, and you know, the world, we don't have to preach about how bad the world is. I mean, it's always been bad, but I never dreamed it's going to get this bad in my lifetime anyway, but it's bad. But I'll tell you this, that I'm thankful that he is running this world, that he's got all power, and that I'm in his hands. That's the safest place you can be. You can't be in a more safe, more secure, more blessed, more comforting place right now than in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? You can't. People get, you know, and he holds that scepter. He holds that scepter. That scepter of a king. And not only is his hands omnipotent hands, all powerful hands, but those hands were the hands of providence. Do you know that our Lord Jesus, we put some things in our bulletin this week, that he holds the smallest affairs. I mean, if he doesn't pay attention to the minutest details of this world, what makes you think that he ain't going to take care of the great things? If he cares about a sparrow, imagine what he thinks about you. And I'm like Mr. Spurgeon. You see light coming through a window and you see all that dust in the air. You know that light coming through a window? He's just as much control over that dust in the air as he is over your soul. If If you don't trust, if we can't trust him with the little bitty things, we certainly can't trust him with the big. And if we had 10,000 souls, we could trust him with every single one of them. And oh my, his providence. His providence. You ever get aggravated because somebody gets in front of you and they're just going slow, 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 and you want to get on with it. You want to move on. Did you ever think that God put somebody slow in front of you to keep you from going around and getting hit by a big truck or something? You know, everything happens for a reason. But we get frustrated over the little things. The big things don't seem to bother us, but oh my, we just let some little something happen. But I'm telling you, what I'm telling you is that the smallest things that happen is as much as the big things that happen. But we just ain't got, I wouldn't say it about you, but I don't pay enough attention to the little things. I look at the big things. But I tell you, I still understand. He numbers the hairs of our head. That's how much he's interested in us. And not only is this the hands of omnipotence and providence, but it's the hands of a king. The hands of a king who has a kingdom on this earth. And it's a spiritual kingdom. Spiritual kingdom. And the church, and we all in a kingdom. We all have a king. And the church, he's over the church and all of its work in this world. He's the head of the church. He's the foundation of the church. He's the life of the church. And he upholds the church. And our Lord Jesus said, I tell you, I give unto them eternal life. And oh, what a statement. And no man shall ever pluck them out of my hand. Nobody. Nobody. A fellow told me one time, well, you can take yourself out. I said, what kind of idiot would take theirself out of the hands of Christ? Then he talked about, you can be lost again. I said, you can't undo a birth. Once you've had it, you can't undo it. Once you're born, you can't. And if you're born again by the Spirit of God, you can't undo that birth. You may stumble, you may fall, you may do some awful things, but you cannot undo that birth. There's a little old gal in our congregation. Her and her husband was off at a golf tournament one time. She, because of her work, she got a chance to go to Augusta, to the Masters. While she is down there, she is pregnant and she lost a baby while she was down there. And she was just not very far along. And they come into the room and they ask her, what do you want us to do with it? You want us to dispose of it? What do you want us to do? She said, no. I'm going to take it home with me and I'm going to bury it. And I tell you what, she had that, I mean, you could put it in a shoebox, small shoebox, but as a body. And she said, I want it. She had it brought back, her father and her mother, me, my wife at that time, and the mother and the daddy was all that was there. And her granddaddy, but I'm telling you, what I'm telling you is that Christ, his life, and that he takes care of life, the smallest details in life. And if she took interest in that little babies of hers and took it home, and there was there, and the grandfather dug the grave. It's a little old bitty grave. They pulled up in a white hearse, took it, little old bitty white casket out. We put it in the ground. He covered it back up. And I said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. We're in the kingdom of a spiritual king. And I tell you, if she'd take care of her baby like that, imagine what Christ does for us. Huh? Oh, my. And here's something else I tell you. You know, the future judgment's in his hand. And eternal reign. This is what's a blessing. People say, ain't you afraid of the judgment? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I've already faced the judgment. Already faced it. See, we're all going to have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I already have. Where was it at? At the cross. Ain't that right? At the cross. So let me close with this. I don't have a clue how long I've preached. I didn't bring my watch, but anyway, look what it says here now. So let's worship him. He's ascended. Verse 50 said, he led them out as far as to Bethany, lifted up his hands, and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Now look what it says after that. And they worshiped him. They worshiped him. They worshiped him. Oh my. That's what we're here for today, to worship Christ. And if we don't worship him here, ain't no sense going home and trying to worship him. But that's the wonderful thing, another thing about Christ. We worship him all the time. We adore him all the time. We call on him all the time. We need him all the time. Need him, need him, need him, need him. I need thee every hour. One fellow said, I need thee every moment. I need thee, oh Lord, I need thee. And they worshiped him. They worshiped him. And then they returned to Jerusalem and said, with great joy. He had just parted from them. He had just left them. What are they so joyful about? Because they knew that everything they needed and everything they had to have, he already gave it to them. Already gave it to them. Huh? And they were continuing in the temple, praising and blessing God. The veil had been removed from their eyes. For the first time, they saw clearly the meaning of our Lord Jesus Christ's humiliation. They saw clearly his mysterious agony upon that cross. They understood the meaning of how he would have to suffer before he could ever enter into his glory. They understood his suffering and his crucifixion now. And they understood that, yes, he is the Son of God. And they saw it clearly now. Saw it clearly. Look with me, if you will, over Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. I believe this was the blessing that he gave them. I believe this was the blessing. But oh, they went back with great joy. Great joy. Numbers 6:24. I believe every one of y'all know this. Maybe this was the words that he said to them when he ascended back to glory that day, when he lifted up his hands. And that's what God told Aaron to do. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. For the Lord Jesus to say that. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to look at you and shine on you. And the Lord be gracious, gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and look at you. Lift up his countenance and look at you. And when he looks at you, let him give you peace. Give him peace. And then put my name upon the children of Israel. That's the name we've got. The name of Christ, our life. Oh, our Father. Oh, our blessed, blessed Father. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name for allowing us to meet, to worship, to look into your word, to believe your word, for your word to speak to our hearts, our minds, and our understandings. And I thank you for this people. Thank you for these dear saints here. God, and I pray you'd give them an abundance of grace. Cause them to be fruitful. Cause them to multiply. Raise them up someone that's of your choosing, if it pleases you. And Lord, meet the need of every home here and of every heart. Strengthen and encourage. Go in the home, go in the heart, go in every family. And Lord Jesus, do for them and do for all of us what only you can do. We ask you and bless you and praise you in Christ's holy name.